finance and appropriation committees from provinces, all members of the select committee and the standing committee on appropriations. We do have apologies. I'll go through them quickly. From the Standing Committee on Appropriation, Honorable Nyalung, Honorable Manana Gadi, Honorable Kwankwa and Sheikh Imam. From the Select Committee, Honorable Mutla Shuping, Honorable Fam Brandis, and Honorable Zondi. All those are not able to be with us this morning. From National Treasury, delegation is led by Madi Jane Naleni, who's DDG, Intergovernmental Relations, Ms. Wendy Fanu, Chief Director, Intergovernmental Policy and Planning, and Dr. Kay Brown, Chief Director, Expenditure Planning. Welcome. Is there any other apology we might have missed? Honorable Fick?
Honorable McLaughlin is attending another meeting, SCOAG.
Okay, we'll note that. Honorable McLaughlin, any other? Yes?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I got an apology to leave at 11:30 if we are not yet finished because of the other commitments.
Okay, we'll all be gone by that time. Why are you not happy? Okay. All right, we'll allow you to leave if we are still here by that time. I take it that all the apologies? Okay, thank you very much. You have the agenda before you. The agenda is really presentation by National Treasury, and then we're going to allow for comments, questions, and some of the things you would have picked up yesterday already when the minister and the DG were here. But on your behalf, let me welcome Madi Jane to take us through the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and good morning. Today we are presenting to you the Adjustment Appropriation Bill for 2014 and adjustments to the Division of Revenue Act 2014. We will also highlight the 2015 proposed budget framework that will reflect the allocations this year, and with some little bit of details on the shifts with regard to the provinces and local government. So we believe that the rest of the discussions on the fiscal framework, fiscal policy, will actually happen next week. So we are confining ourselves today on the allocations and the division of revenue. So Dr. Brown will take us through the 2014 Adjustment Appropriation Bill. I will deal with 2014 Adjustment Division of Revenue Act bill, and Wendy will reflect on the 2015 budget framework. Dr. Brown.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Honorable Members and I'm going to take you through the Adjustment Appropriation Bill, which will reflect obviously the changes at the national, to the national vote, and then there will be detail on the provinces.
Sorry. And then there will be detail on the provinces when Madi Jing and Wendy speak. So we'll confine ourselves here to the national adjustments, but just quickly, the components of the adjustments budget, the adjustments which can be made are technical adjustments, and they're all made in terms of Section 32 of the PFMA. Essentially, I'll go through them very quickly. The first is any significant or unforeseeable economic and financial events that affect fiscal targets. If there are any of those, such amendments can be made. That would, for example, be if there was a runaway inflation or unexpectedly high inflation and we would need to adjust the budgets of all departments. Obviously, that's not the case. Unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure relates to things like flood damage and so on that one could not have anticipated. Any expenditure in terms of Section 16. Section 16 is an emergency provision. We don't have any of those in this budget, luckily. Money which the minister had announced at the time of the budget would be put aside for a particular kind of allocation. This might be appropriated at this point if the correct information, business plans, or whatever the requirements were that were not in place at the time of the budget. Any shifts within votes or between votes. In this year, the biggest shifts are really between votes, and they relate to the national macro organization of the state project, which basically links to the presidential proclamation of new and amended vote structures. So those will come through in the adjustments appropriation bill. Then any vironments where there are shifts between programs within a department, and also rollover of funds from the preceding financial year where there are already financial commitments. Essentially, the adjustments appropriation bill, if you look at the amounts in there, it is literally the amounts of the adjustments. So the baseline amounts are in the main appropriation act, and what is tabled in the adjustments appropriation bill is literally the increases and the decreases. The detail from what is in the adjustments appropriation bill, the detail at provincial and municipal level, is in the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, which will be spoken to shortly. The explanation for what is in the adjustments appropriation bill is to be found in the Adjusted Estimates of National Expenditure publication, so that will give you further details. And all expenditure that's proposed in terms of the adjustments appropriation bill is in terms of the PFMA and regulations. And the adjustments appropriation bill serve obviously to make the necessary technical amendments in terms of what is being proposed, but also to contribute to the oversight and management of national votes. The structure of the bill, I won't spend a lot of time here. Essentially, if you look at the bill, you'll see that the bill is divided by vote, and within each vote by main division or program. For each vote, the aim is set out, and you can see the adjustments to the programs for which there are adjustments. These adjustments are also categorized into current payments, transfers and subsidies, payments for capital assets, and payments for financial assets. In terms of current payments, there's a distinction between compensation of employees, goods and services, and other. In some cases, there's a bigger or a greater detailed breakdown by program, and sometimes that would be under a heading. So a heading could, for example, be non-profit institutions or a conditional grant to provinces or so on. Any allocation that's marked with an asterisk is specifically and exclusively appropriated, which means that the department may not move money from this item unless approved by Parliament. And then all conditional grants are specifically and exclusively appropriated. In terms of the newly created departments, what you'll see in the Adjustments Appropriation Bill is that some of these transfers have taken place and some have not. I'm sure the Honourable Members and Honourable Chairs will recall that at the time of the approval of the main Appropriations Act, there were technical amendments tabled which created votes for the departments that were newly proclaimed, but no funding was allocated against these votes. In terms of the Adjustments Appropriation Bill now, if you look at the bottom, the last bullet, you will see that the full process has been followed and concluded in respect of three of the votes. So in terms of this bill, one will see the new Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation with the relevant allocations, the funding having been shifted from the Departments of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation and the relevant programs from the Presidency. One will also see the Department of Water and Sanitation, which essentially has the allocations from the Department of Water and the sanitation function having been moved from the Department of Human Settlements, and also the new vote for the Department of Women, which has the allocations for in respect of the function of women and the people, children and people with disabilities functions have been shifted to the Department of Social Development. So you'll pick that up under the Department of Social Development. On the top table, those departments have not yet completed the full shifting process. And one would expect that at the time of the main appropriation bill in February that these allocations will have been finalized. Then I'll just briefly go through each of these categories. I'm not sure whether I should go quickly through each of the items or whether I should just leave it up for a while and be guided. Okay, I'll go very briefly through them then. So the first category here that we've got detail for is unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure. The expenditure obviously needs to be both unforeseeable and unavoidable. There is an allocation to cooperative governments and traditional affairs for the repair of infrastructure that was damaged by disasters, mostly floods, and then also for the establishment of the new Deputy Ministry in Traditional Affairs. For international relations and cooperation, there is an adjustment because of the effect of the weakening of the rand. For government communication and information system, there is funding for the establishment of the ministry, the Communications Ministry and Deputy Ministry. For public enterprises, this is the ninth claim by Danel Aerostructures for damages and losses in terms of an indemnity in respect of the Airbus 400 military aircraft contracts. Essentially, that guarantee was for $1.6 million. I think this claim brings us to about $1.2 that would have been expended in terms of that indemnity. For health, the funding for the response to the Ebola crisis, both here at home and in Sierra Leone. For the Labor Department, the establishment of the Labor Deputy Ministry, and then also for administration costs of the occupational diseases and on-duty injuries claims, which have been greater than anticipated. For communications, financing or funding in respect of the funeral of the late President Mandela for broadcasting telecommunications and satellite connectivity. Also in the Department of Transport, you will see the expenditure for motor car and air travel and handling in respect also of the funeral. Environmental Affairs, the establishment of the Environmental Affairs Ministry and Deputy Ministry. Mineral Resources, the relocation of an office after fire damage has necessitated a move. For Trade and Industry, the establishment of the Small Business Development Department. And then for Water and Sanitation, funding for assistance to municipalities in respect of areas that have water crises. So that's unforeseeable and unavoidable. Moving on then to what was announced by the Minister at the time of the tabling of the budget in February. It was then announced that there would be some money set aside for digital broadcasting, and obviously work still needed to be done, which is why the allocation was not made then. Most of the funding is allocated to the Universal Services and Access Fund for the digital migration, and then there's also some funding to Centec for the dual illumination until such time as we have made the switch to digital. Shifting of funds between votes to follow the transfer functions. I'm not going to go into much detail here. Essentially, this relates to those new departments that have been set up, and we've literally moved the functions from water and then the sanitation function from human settlements to the new Department of Water and Sanitation. And you can see in the establishment of the Department of Women that the functions of children and people with disabilities have moved to social development. And in respect of the establishment of the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, the allocations from Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, as well as the relevant functions from the Presidency that were shifted. Viaments, that is shifting of funds between programs within a department. Essentially, there are two departments where the viaments were over 100 million, and that is set out here. It's the Department of Defense and Military Veterans, underspending on accommodation in respect of accommodation that was to be provided by the Department of Public Works, and that funding has been shifted to compensation of employees, given that the CPI was higher than anticipated, and that essentially they would then obviously need to make the budget adjustment. Rural development and land reform, they have moved funding from the consultancy services to setting up a new branch, basically, which is looking also at land restitution, so they have some chief directors in that branch, and the property management is the accommodation also for that. Rollovers, these are funds that were committed contractually and so on in the previous financial year, but for which the payment was not made in the previous financial year, and requests have come for approval of these. The first one is for cooperative governance. It relates to municipal infrastructure projects in various municipalities for which there was financial commitment made in the previous financial year. The same for basic education. There was a commitment for this teacher support material, first aid kits, scales and so on, but the funds did not flow in the previous financial year. Similarly, for social development, for the setting up of the provincial food distribution centre, and in energy, for the non-grid electrification service connections provision to households, for a study on energy footprint and savings in heavy industry, and for fuel sampling and testing. In science and technology, for the building of the Kofimvaba Science Center, and in water and sanitation, for the upgrading of data storage infrastructure, which relates essentially to the ability of head office and regions to monitor the probability of floods and to react timeously, and also for regional and bulk water infrastructure commitments, as well as for scientific and technical support around water quality and water usage and so on. The next category is self-financing. Essentially, this is where revenue is raised by a particular activity of a department. This revenue is, however, not retained by the department, but is paid into the National Revenue Fund, obviously in terms of the PFMA, and application is then made for these funds to be appropriated to the department in order to fund the operational costs, obviously, that were incurred and for which the revenue has been raised. So the first one is in respect of the expenditure that Home Affairs incurs with regard to issuing official documentation, and the funding will be used to pay for those operational costs. In health, it is the revenue collected by the Medicine Control Council that will be used for the establishment of the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority. In correctional services, it is revenue that is obtained by hiring out offender labor, and essentially a third of that is being requested for appropriation. For defense and military veterans, it is revenue raised from the selling of equipment and spares through the special defense account, and it will be expenditure used for defense activities. In energy, it is revenue that's been received from the various sector education and training, or the two sector education and training authorities, that will be used by the department for such training. And in the case of trade and industry, it is the unitary payments that have been collected from public entities, that share campus accommodation, that will be used by the department to make the unitary payments in terms of the private-public partnership arrangement. Declared unspent funds, this is where departments have indicated that the funding will not be spent in this financial year. And essentially, this will be a decrease in the appropriation to the departments listed there. In the case of the Treasury, it's the Employment Creation Facilitation Fund. In the case of health, it's the National Health Grant, the indirect grant for health facility revitalization. For social development, it's a decrease in respect of the estimates that will be needed to pay the social grants. So they do not anticipate that they will be needing the full amount that had been appropriated. And in tourism, it is the incentive program that will not be spent the full amount in terms of the appropriation. Essentially, then, this provides the summary. And what one can see there is, after all the additions and subtractions, the total, you can look at the bottom there and see the total estimate in terms of the budget required has decreased from the amount which is on the left. The change is the 6.2 billion or so to give us the new amount on the right. In conclusion, this is basically the same thing, but just in words. We have the 6.2 billion downward adjustment recommended, and essentially it's comprised of those additions which we've discussed and offset by the following reductions. There is the unallocated reserves, or what used to be called the contingency reserves, which are used at 3 billion to offset, as well as the 1 billion in declared unspent funds, 4.2 billion in expected underspending. This is essentially an estimate. This is different from the declared savings or the declared unspent funds, which are literally reductions proposals to the appropriations, whereas the projections of underspending are not to be taken from the votes, but are our estimate of what the underspending level will be given the monitoring of spending trends at the national level. And then there's also a decrease in the spending on the skills levy and a decrease in the projected state debt costs relative to what had been estimated they would be. Essentially then, total spending will decrease from a budgeted 1,042 billion basically to a 1,036 billion. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next input.
Thank you, Chair. So now we will turn to the 2014 Division of Revenue Amendments Bill, which essentially unpacks the allocations that have been made as a result of adjustment appropriation amendments in the allocations. So this is done in terms of the amendment bill for the Division of Revenue. It's done in terms of Section 12.4 of Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, which requires that the Minister of Finance tables this Division of Revenue Amendment Bill with the revised framework, should there be any adjustments in the allocations, and which in this case we have seen there are some adjustments in the allocations. So the Division of Revenue Bill basically contains three clauses. Clause 1 and 2 reflect changes in the schedule. So clause 3 will reflect just a change in the title, which just reflects that is an amendment bill. So in terms of the changes in the clauses, clauses 1 and 2 provide changes in the schedules of the DORA. Essentially, the schedules are where the allocations are reflected. So both provinces, for both provinces and allocations, per province, per municipality. So these changes basically reflect additional allocations to provinces and municipalities that have been made for various reasons that she has outlined. It also reflects rollovers of conditional grants to provinces. So those were the allocations that were not transferred in full during the year. It also reflects the rescheduling of allocations between direct and indirect allocations. So when you look at conditional grants to municipalities or provinces, we do have of two types. The one type is direct. Direct says the money is flowing to the, it's allocated to the municipality or to the province. It will flow there and it will be reflected into their budget. They will be responsible to plan and implement whatever the money is supposed to finance. So the indirect grants, the money is to benefit the municipality or the province, but the allocation and the planning and the implementation is driven at the national level. So the municipality or the province doesn't get to see the money. They will receive the service or the asset that the money is supposed to buy. So, but the Act allows for changes between the two, because the reason for this has been because of the problem of capacity at the local or provincial level. So the changes also reflect shifts in functions. So the functions that have been reflected because of the macro organization of the state also result in some shifts in the allocations of the conditional grants between functions, between departments. So we need to reflect that. So this is an example of a schedule, which we said that the two schedules, the schedule 1 and 2, clause 1 and 2 reflect changes in the schedules. So these are the changes. So the first one reflects how the Act looked like. So it has about six columns, The one that we have encircled red reflects column A, which is the current year's allocations. And then the last two reflect the forward allocations. So what we are doing now below is to blow up column A show three columns of adjusted column A. The first column reflecting the main allocation of the grant, and then the second column reflecting what adjustment is being made, and the last one reflecting the total allocation, now taking into account the original, the main allocation, and the adjustment. So that's the change that we're going to be reflecting in the bill. And then in the first column, we reflect the name of the departments. Where there has been a shift in the departments, we'll reflect that shift by changing the name of the department that is responsible. So in terms of the shift of function within the national department, there are several changes that have been made because of the changes in the macro organization of the state. The first one is actually around sanitation function. The sanitation function was sitting with the Department of Human Settlement. Now there has been a creation of the Department of Water and Sanitation, which therefore means that the allocation that had to do with sanitation shifts to the Department of Water and Sanitation. So this shift is going to be reflected in the adjustment. So there are a number of conditional grants that will have to shift as a result. The first one being the rural household grant. This was the grant that has got both the element of direct and indirect, which means that there are some allocations that goes directly to the municipalities that are benefiting. There are some allocations that the national department implements on behalf of the municipality. So this allocation is supporting the on-site solutions where the reticulation of services is not feasible. So we reflect there where you will find this allocation, in the brackets where you will find this this allocation, further explanation of those changes. So the other one is about Human Settlement Development Grant. So this is an indirect portion of the grant that was created to address eradication of bucket sanitation. This is an allocation that was allocated for 2 years, just a high impact allocation that was to eliminate that. So it's going to be shifting also to the Department of Water and Sanitation. So the changes to the provincial allocations for 2014, some of the changes. So first of all, we want to reflect that there are no changes to the equitable share at the moment. The changes reflect the rollovers of conditional grants. The first one is 9.7 million that is in KZN for HIV/AIDS in education, the life skill grant. That money was stopped, and it has been proved that it can be spent at the moment because rollovers are approved on the basis of the proof that the money can be spent, either because the payments were not made, because the invoice came at the end, towards the end of the year, or there are contracts that are already running which cannot be accommodated within the current year's allocations. So that allocation it gets to be approved. So the next one is around conventions between indirect provincial conditional grants to direct provincial conditional grants. So this is where the province reflects that it has got the capacity to implement the program. So the allocations then tend to be converted from indirect to direct. So the opposite happens if the province is failed, where the allocation has got both direct and indirect elements. So in this case, this allocation that is going to the Western Cape, which will be implementing directly. The other allocations are from the National Health Grant. So we are allocating that $375 million directly to provinces, and this is going to the Free State and to KZN, which is getting the major bulk of the allocation in Northwest and Northern Cape. So the other $113 million is declared as savings on indirect grant because it cannot be spent. So we have got changes to the allocations to local government, and these are arising from the disaster recovery. So the 157 million is being allocated for those municipalities in the area that were declared disaster in 2013. And now, after the work that has been done in costing in the nature of in evaluating and costing the disaster, that this is the amount that has been allocated for them to start with the repairs of the destroyed assets. The rollovers, 1.5 million to Zwaing local municipality for water, and then we have got 8.2 million for municipal infrastructure grant that is going to about 9 municipalities in about 5 provinces that have proved that they can spend the money that was stopped, and we have got 18.6 million of regional bulk infrastructure, which is indirect grant that also can be spent on the ongoing project. So for unforeseen and unavoidable spending, we have got municipal water infrastructure grant being allocated, 15 million for emergency borehole in Guyana, and 8.3 million to address the Bloemhof problem, wastewater treatment problem. So now I will reflect here a little bit on the changes in the grant framework. So the bill, the act allows for changes in the gazetted frameworks. And these changes are only to correct errors and omissions, only after, and they are done obviously with the approval of Parliament. So at the same time, the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill is being processed. Therefore, we request the approval of these changes for corrections. The proposed changes to the Division of Revenue are described, therefore, in Part 3 of the explanatory memorandum, which starts from page 24, and the changes to the gazetted framework and the allocations are also included from page 30 of the bill. So it does outline each one of the grant framework as has been changed. So these are the changes that I'll reflect quickly of each one of the conditional grants framework where changes have been effected. So the first one is education infrastructure grant. This is a direct grant to the provinces. So the one correction there is to align dates with infrastructure plans, submission of infrastructure plans with those that are indicated in DORA. And also to allow for the maximum amount to be used for technical capacity from 16 to 26 million. So provinces are being allowed to basically recruit technical skills into their establishment so that they can address capacity shortages of professionals. This is part of building their capacity and capability to deliver infrastructure efficiently. So the allocations that were made had not taken into consideration the district offices. It was accommodating the regional offices. So now this is being extended to make sure that even in the regional offices or district offices, they're able to have the right kind of people to oversee the planning and implementation. So the health facility revitalization grant also, same corrections in order to allow for alignment between the dates of submission with the DORA and also to build the capacity, to continue to build the capacity. So the national, with regard to the national health grants, so a health revitalization component of the national health grant, so the correction there also have been done to align the plans, submission dates with DORA, and also to indicate that the reports do not have to be submitted to the National Treasury like the plans have to. So they have to report to the national departments who then report to us. The changes to the provincial conditional framework continues with the national health insurance component. So here, the correction that is being made is that the innovations that are being piloted with regard to the patients of the health professionals or the contracting of the health professionals should not only be about medical practitioners, but it should include a broader scope of health practitioners. And also to change from contracting concepts that imply that the health professionals from the private sector can only be brought into working into the hospitals, public hospitals, but to also allow for purchasing the services where they are located, basically, in their premises. So there is also a correction on the omission on the alternative models for supplying chronic medicines, because the department is also piloting the alternative models of supplying chronic medications to the patient. So we also correct the due date. We also correct the MTF allocations. So the provincial road maintenance grant, so there we are also correcting the process for publishing the project plans. So instead of saying they must be gazetted in the provincial legislature, it says that they must be tabled. I mean, that's what should have been said. So the other important one is about human settlement development grant, an indirect portion of the for the backyard eradication. So this grant reflects a shift from human settlement to the Department of Water and Sanitation. The other grant is where the changes are being made in the framework is the Municipal Human Settlement Capacity Grant. So this grant has been created to support municipalities to build their capacity so that they can be able to plan, implement, and manage the human settlement projects with the accreditation of the function to the municipalities. So there has been a change, a delay in the process of accreditation. So, and also there has been a change in terms of the requirements, in terms of what that capacity needs to deliver. So the first correction is around including in the requirements for submission the indication from the municipalities or the alignment of their capacity with the catalytic projects, which have become a major important strategy for the department, highlighted in the MTFF. And also to correct that the provinces need to come into the loop because they are the ones that hold the human settlement grant that has got to ship to the municipality. So they need to have a view of the plans and also be able to approve or to be able to be okay with the plans prior to allocating the money to the municipality. So I think the correction is also being made that the assignments will not take place in the current year as yet. So the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant, so the department's name is changed now to the Water and Sanitation. And the other requirement that is changing is about submission of the business plans, because that is not a necessary requirement for indirect portion of the grant. So changes to the gazetted allocations. There are some details in the municipalities that are also being changed in the gazetted allocations. And these are reflected in page 52 or 65, so which reflect the allocations per province, per municipalities within a province. They are also including the changes in the EPWP allocations to the per province, and the changes in the name of the recipient departments. Remember, there are also changes in the departments in the provinces. So what you are doing is that is to align the money with the function shift between the departments in KZN and Limpopo. So let me take us through.
Morning. I'll do the last part of the mega presentation. What this slide indicates is just the forward allocations for the next 3 years. And as indicated in a number of presentations already, the shares between national, provincial, and local government largely remains the same, and there's no real changes there. What the next slide does, and it's always also been presented, but I'll go in a bit more detail than what was gone in the past, it just indicates the changes to the allocations that go into provinces and local governments. And just the first heading, this is these baseline reductions to all spheres, and how this reduction was done, it was done in line with the division of revenue. So if a national's got a 47% share, its contribution to that 10 billion and 15 billion is in line with that. And the same was done with regard to provinces and local government. And then also a change that's been allocated and is linking also to the presentation that Marie Jeng has made. Some of the disaster money is not just given in the year in question, but it's actually also continued over the MTF. So some of those allocations are flowing then to the next MTF because of the timing issue, infrastructure takes time to build. So it, you can't just give it in one financial year. Then specific changes to provinces, and these are quite major changes, and it's actually been taking place over a number of years, which it was announced about 3 or 4 years ago already that the further education and training colleges function, as well as the adult education function from the Department of Higher Education, will move from provinces to the Department of Higher Education. And the deadline for the FET colleges were extended with 1 year, and it's now going to take place, both of the function transfers are going to take place 1 April 2015. So what is going to be important there, the provinces are not going to be responsible for those functions, but the money that's in the provincial equitable share is taken out and is transferred to the national department that will then take on those responsibilities, and it took a bit of time to actually get agreement on the amounts to be transferred. Of course, the national wants the major share, provinces wants to give the minor share, and the end you need to get to a fair amount, so that took a bit of time. Then there's also another function that will shift from the provinces, and that is the port health function. That's a much smaller shift. It's much easier to do, and it makes also a lot of logical sense because it's an entry point, and it's better that the national department then ensures that where there's a national entry point, that it's controlled by a national department. So the legislation has also been changed to change it from a provincial function to an exclusive national function, and the funds will also be taken out of the provincial equitable share and given to the national department concerned. Then also quite importantly, and it was also stressed in discussions yesterday, what is very important and what will happen, National Treasury will be working with the provinces to ensure that the cuts that they've or reductions that they've received will be focused on efficiency gains and not adversely impact on service delivery. And there's quite a lot of scope. Even on the personnel issues, it were highlighted yesterday as well, that the focus should be on having the right number of staff, but also the right types of staff. And the, in certain cases, there are overstaffing in the wrong areas, and that needs to be corrected. Then also on goods and services, it's you can certain services can be provided much more efficiently, and some of the work that we're already undertaking with provinces have already shown that there's quite a bit of efficiency gains that can still be achieved there. Then on the local government side, the local government equitable share is not being reduced. And the reason for that is that we want to protect the provision of free basic services, and we all know that, for example, the bulk pricing for electricity is increased up to 13% increases, and it will also have a ripple effect on the municipalities. And then there's quite a bit of additional money added to water infrastructure over the MTF. And last but not least, there's also been additions added for the cost of municipal mergers. And just to highlight here, it was actually a recommendation by Parliament that municipalities that actually redemarcated, that we should provide them with some transitional costs related to the mergers as well. Then this just indicates the changes to the division of revenue over the MTF, and it indicates exactly that the local government allocation, like I indicated, it's just on conditional grants, and on the provincial equitable share, it's 60%, and on conditional grants, it's 40%. And then we've already gone through the slide, but then also this slide just indicates how it was applied. So some of the conditional grants were protected to, again, ensure that we don't have adverse service delivery outcomes. So, for example, the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant and the National School Nutrition Program grant is protected from cuts. And then just the changes, and it will, these changes are just giving a highlight, and the details will be contained in the 2015 budget, so it will give also Parliament the opportunity to actually you know, go into details with these changes and also give feedback on these proposals. The first one is that there's two conditional grants that's already in the system that will be merged. And it will improve impact but also scale because some of these grants were limiting and it will now be extended to all schools, for example, so it will have a better impact. This is a request that came from the Department of Basic Education and it was supported also through the processes. And then a second one, provinces will start receiving their performance-based allocations. It's been contained, the performance-based incentives, and it's all based on having the right types of staff, the right types of plans, and also then ensure implementation of those projects. So provinces that's complied better will then receive an incentive allocation, which will mean the allocation will be increased. Those that did not comply to the fullest extent will still receive a base allocation, but those that performed better and actually complied with all the conditions will get their base allocation plus. But also then to highlight for the provinces that are still struggling to meet the basic standards of providing infrastructure in an efficient and effective way, National Treasury will be working with the provinces concerned to actually help them also to meet all the criteria. Then the third one is also a recommendation that came out of Parliament out of concerns about the condition and the impact that the condition of the road, the R573 or Mulata Road, has got on lives of people. And Parliament gave a recommendation that the budget should include an allocation specifically for this road, and work is also currently underway to shift this road from a provincial road to a national road, and that is also quite important for going forward. Then on the human settlements development grant, like Marie Jing has already indicated, the National Department of Human Settlements have reviewed some of their policies with regard to human settlement provision, and some of the funds have just been realigned then also to align with the reform policy of the Department of Human Settlements. I've already touched on the disaster money, but what is quite important here just to highlight, there's also immediate relief money that's made available before funds are made available for the refurbishment side, and that's always been under-prescribed. So these amounts are going to be reduced, but it won't have impacts because it's more aligned to actual current spending trends. And then also funds have been made available. A lot of the cases, existing money has been ring-fenced for disasters rather than adding additional money into the system. Then on local government, there's grants for the municipalities impacted by redemarcation. And what is quite important here is just to highlight maybe, you know, what we need to take into account when we determine the allocation. It still needs to be done. but the things that we will take into consideration. It's always pointed out that there's cost involved in a restructuring, but what not so frequently gets mentioned is that there's also a potential for the municipalities then to collect additional revenues because they're also taking on, for example, new areas that they can property rate, new areas that they can actually apply user charges to. So what is done is, when these decisions are made, is to determine actually how much can a municipality absorb, how would this redemarcation impacting them on positively. So the proposal here is that partially the cost be funded and not the full cost of the redemarcation. Managing has already touched on the disaster recovery money. It's just a continuation over the MTF. And then some of the very high-level changes will be implemented. We had quite an extensive review of the local government infrastructure grant system. A concern was raised by the FFC that there's just too many grants in the system, and it makes it difficult for municipalities to implement. Just to highlight, it wasn't just a National Treasury project. National Treasury did it in collaboration with the Financial and Fiscal Commission, with the Department of Cooperative Governance, and with the presidency as well as SOLGA. So it was quite a broad team, and that team actually signed off on the reform. So it's not an exclusive National Treasury project, it's actually a collective project. So some of the initial changes that will be done, because a lot of the details will still be worked out, but one of the key decisions that's coming out of the review is that there's just too many water grants. And what we need to do, there's, for example, the municipal infrastructure grant on the one side, and then there's a number of grants also at the Department of Water Affairs. So the grants in the Department of Water Affairs will be start to be consolidated, but most probably with some specific windows to allow for specific projects still to be targeted within that. So some of those consolidations will take place over the 2015 MTF. There will also be a focus and extension of the grants towards projects that's not just new infrastructure, but also the refurbishment of existing infrastructure. And then quite a number of proposals got nothing to do with the way the grant is structured, but the way that the grants are administered. And that is one of the key things that came out of the review, that we need to actually ensure better administration and monitoring and support of the grants. So that will be receiving quite a bit of attention as well. And then the last one, there's two components in public transport, one focusing on the infrastructure and the other one focusing on operations, and they will just be consolidated and merged because the split is always not that easy between the two. Thanks.
thank you very much for the presentations. I do have though some unhappy souls here, Madije, at the back there. They say they only received the presentation this morning, so they are not able to prepare properly. Some researchers and committee secretaries. Anyway, I'm sure in future I'll try to get the presentation earlier to them. Honorable members, two presentations. You can comment on any of them. You just need to say which one you are commenting on so that those who are making notes can be able to follow. First one was the adjustment appropriation bill, and the second one is the division of revenue amendment bill. You can talk to any of those. Okay, so what I'm going to do, honorable members, as you speak, you'll say who you are so that we can record. So if you raise your hand, I'll point to you, then you can indicate. I'll start with the chair here. Are you looking at me? Let's start with your chair. You'll be second. third, fourth, fifth Magdor. So I've got five people who are going to make comments in that order.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the National Treasury and what they did this morning informing us. Just a few remarks, Chairperson. Thank you for the allocations for the Maloto Road. It's a result, Chairperson, of taking Parliament to the people when the NCP went to Mpumalanga. So this is the real thing that we are dealing with, and thank you for that allocation, because a lot of people lost their lives on that road. I think they're also looking at the railroad to improve on that as well in the easterly direction. The other point, Chairperson, that I want Treasury to take note of, I'm talking of my province, Northern Cape, regarding the disaster funding that was returned to the National Treasury, and it comes from the Provincial Department of Agriculture. That funding was allocated for the floods in the Lower Orange River in the area of Upington. But because of administrative hiccups, it was very, very slow, and this money was returned back to the Treasury. I spoke to Mr. Mokoko, the HOD of Provincial Treasury in the Northern Cape. I spoke to Mr. Shishi. That funds be returned, because those farmers are still struggling, and it is upcoming farmers, it's new farmers, to assist them. But we will take it through the provincial legislature as well. The other point is the 30 million allocated in the adjustments for the Northern Cape Health. Just a clarity, is that for the mental health hospital to be completed, the 30 million? It appears in the adjustments in the division of revenue. And then there's allocations to Richtersveld Municipality of 3 million and 3.5 million to Entamgeni in the Northern Cape. Chairperson, the issue at Bloemhof is a major issue. It's not just affecting Bloemhof in Northwest, it's affecting Northern Cape, because that water from Bloemhof Dam comes to the Northern Cape. And it affects the Fallarts irrigation scheme, where there's 474 farmers. But not only them, it's also the new farmers, the emerging farmers. And that's the seriousness of Bloemhof Dam. When something goes wrong there, it's got a ripple effect down the line, up to Douglas. It's my province, I know what's going on there. That was my former constituency. So thank you for that allocation. Also as a result of the work of the NCOP. Then lastly, Chairperson, the spending of the equitable share in local government. We addressed this last year as well in the same type of meeting, that the mechanism have to be found to monitor the spending of the equitable share, that those monies ends up where it's supposed to end up. Because when we as NCOP visit provinces or do our oversight in specific municipalities, we again and again get the same thing. Sir, but we are still struggling. And then you go to the Division of Revenue that we always pass in March and say, but here's the allocations to your municipality, why are you struggling? The monitoring of that spending. That's the remarks I wanted to make. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Niels van Rooyen. I'm Chairperson of the Finance Committee in the Free State. I just want to raise three issues. And the first one is in connection with the Adjustment Appropriation Bill. I just want to ask, find out, why does it take so long for the new Department of Small Businesses to be allocated funds? Because as long as they're not being operating, it has got a severe effect in small business in the provinces, which is there for job creation. And the way I understand now, it will only be in the February budget that they will be allocated the proper funds and can start operating. I just want to know what is the delay, because as I said, the delay has got severe implications in provinces which are, you know, for small businesses. The other issue, Chairperson, I'm not sure if I'm out of order here, but I just want to check the on the Division of Revenue, the FET colleges and adult education, my understanding is that those allocations will now come out from the equitable share. But if I can recall, that was grants, the specific grants. Now, why does it come out of the equitable share now all of a sudden? Obviously, it must come out of the grants and not out of the equitable share. I just want to find out why is that. And then, again, the last issue is on the provincial road maintenance grant. I know now who to blame if the provinces and the Free State loses money on that, because we have got a severe backlog on maintenance in our roads. So I just want to put that on the record. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Emmanuel Mtileni. I serve on appropriations and finance and COP. I just have a few things to raise here. I just want to know, I think the second last presentation on the issue of boreholes in Guyana. Like, this issue coincides with what I raised yesterday, which, of course, according to me, the minister answered, you know, it was too casual as, you know, he answered this one. On the issue of the litigation on human resource and dispute. I just want to know if the issue of boreholes in Guyana is just a bailout, I mean, to the litigation which has, of course, stalled the project, which was actually earmarked. I mean, a lot of millions were set aside to, you know, take water from Nandoni to Guyana. And just because of these contractual disputes, nothing seems to be done. And I don't know if, you know, maybe we, the government or the powers that be are failing to maybe to take note of this problem, because it has been, you know, stalling for more than 3 years now and nothing is happening. And I also want to maybe also to conscientize the people who are doing presentations here so that they can take note of this. We have heard previously, you know, and also heard about in the newspapers, where Mopani District Municipality was said to have drilled a lot of boreholes, which were, of which the budget was more than the boreholes drilled. Are we intending adding, you know, more boreholes or to the already existing ones, which were actually, of course, millions were paid for the lesser, you know, number of boreholes that were actually drilled there. I just want to make this you aware that at least there should be an intensive introspection on this issue before the project would be taken up. I think basically, I think I should also raise the issue of National Treasury should also check on the issue of you know, the manner in which, you know, departments are actually behaving when it comes to fleet management. I just put this one forward so that maybe we can all of us, you know, check if maybe it's the right thing. You know, we seem to be procuring almost everything. I'll give you an example of cleaners. Each and every department has cleaners.
Whereas we have got cleaners who have been employed by, you know, each department, but they sit and idle, do nothing there on a day-to-day. At the end of the month, they receive salaries. These are some of the things that I think we need to take note of. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. My name is Malcolm Figg. I'm on the Standing Committee on Appropriation. It's always a concern when monies get returned, because it obviously means that bad planning has been done, and departments and projects where the money is needed are obviously disadvantaged. So it's serious. So I just want to refer us to the offset by the following amounts, and if you'll allow me just to mention some of the few that are concerns. First of all, the 3 billion rand in unallocated reserves. Now, how that is possible to have reserves that are unallocated in a budget that we are short of funds and we are borrowing every year to meet the shortage or to match the deficit. So that's fine. The 1 billion rand has been explained, which is fair enough. Then the 4.2 billion rand in projected underspending in the recovery of local government. Now, again, I mean, local government is an area where there are serious deficiencies. Projects are not completed. So how the money is not spent in local government, again, it raises some serious concerns. So, again, it goes to bad planning. The 240 million rand in decreased skills levy and sector education and training, we had a presentation by the Department of Education the other day, and it was a sore point that there are skills that are lacking in this country. Now, we lack in skills, but we've got money, and money has not been used to develop those skills. So it's frightening. And then the other issue is the 415 billion rand decrease in projected state debt costs. That's a difficult to believe from my side, because our state debt is increasing, but here we have a decrease in state debt costs. So those two don't just add up for me. That's the issue as far as the first presentation is concerned. The second presentation, just for clarification, I see there's an indication made of the difference between school infrastructure and education infrastructure. Can I just get an explanation on the difference between that? And then the last presentation, the pie chart with the distribution of revenue, I noticed that the revenue that is distributed is 99.9%. Now, can we just get an indication of what happens to the other 0.1%? Does it go to a discretionary fund or to these reserves or that sort of thing? Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Kweliwe Malopa, the member of Standing Committee on Appropriation. Thanks for the presentations, both presentations. I think it assists us when we really plan for the next financial year to know exactly what will be coming out from the budget, on this revised budget. Can I check, Honorable Chair? I think I was partly covered around the issue of the small business department, because there are high expectations out there in the communities, and it came out very clearly during the time when the minister was interviewed in the morning live. And people have got high expectation that now their challenges are going to be attended, because now this department is really focusing on the small and medium enterprise business. But now this delay of allocation showing the next year allocation, really it's a cause for concern for us as public representatives, and we don't know what is the reason behind that. I think this is the one question. The other one is around the issue of the energy department. We see there on page 12 indicating that integrated national electrification program for non-grid electrification service to provide electrification connection to households. I want to check with the treasurer whether they are aware that in the whole country there were some projects that were not completed by the Department of Energy in 2013-2014 financial year, but those budget, projects were committed and reported to the community. And we are told that they ran out of funds. And as a result, those projects are no more going to be implemented in this current year because they were not also completed in the last year. Because they are saying that the budget that they received for the 2014-2015, they had to pay in the debt for the previous financial year. I want to check with the treasurer whether they have taken into consideration that one, the allocation to the Department of Energy, because where I'm coming from in my constituency, there are service delivery protests, and they are saying that they have been shifted around the issue of electrification in the area, at Umlalazi municipality. They were committed in 2011, and then they were shifted, and it was reported 2013, 2014, and it's not done. And then in this current year, they said they don't have the budget. They have been speaking to the National Treasurer to assist. We want to check whether they have received that particular request, or are they taking into consideration, because it's a problem if the projects that were committed in 2013, 2014 are not done, even this current year are not going to be done. Thank you.
I'll allow the National Treasury to respond and perhaps take another round of comments after that.
We will divide ourselves into the responses so that we can provide as comprehensive response as possible. I think, so maybe I'll comment on some of the questions, and then Wendy and Dr. Brown will come. And perhaps I must start at the end, the last. Oh, okay. I must start with the last comment of Honorable Masopo.
Yes.
Okay. I must start with that one with regard to INET. Because I think it's not really quite normal for the projects to be started and not be completed and prioritized. And I'm not sure whether when we talk about the debts here, we are talking about the debts of municipalities to ESCOM, which is really unrelated with the allocation of INEF. So I think that perhaps question is not very clear, but I think the normal operation is that you need to be able to prioritize the projects that have been prioritized. So it cannot be normal that the projects get started and then they are not being completed. Because what has not been done is to cut money to INEP. You know, the money is still growing. Of course, it's not growing at a rate that is equal to the demand, obviously, or the needs out there. But the allocations have not been cut. So I think it becomes a bit... So you want to clarify that one?
What we are saying, there was a budget that was given to the Department of Energy in the area that is being supplied by ESCOM. There were a number of projects that were prioritized and committed and reported to the community. Some of those projects were done and others were not done. They said when they were on the way of implementing it, they ran out of funds. And they are saying, when we are asking, because we had a meeting in the constituent's office, why are you not prioritizing it in this 2014-2015? They said even in 2014-2015, they don't have budget, because the budget that they received from National Treasury, they had to pay for the previous project because there were more than what they anticipated. So it's not the debt. So those projects are still there. The others were completed, the others were not completed, and people are doing, they were in the municipality, saying that it was reported that it was going to be done in 2013, 2014, it's not done. and now in 2014, 2015 again, they can't do it because they don't have finance. It's not like the debt.
I think some of the detailed issues, you can note them and go investigate them if you don't have the details.
Can I just ask that we use the first presentation, the one with the 2014 Adjustments Appropriation Bill, and if we can go to slide 11. Remember when Dr. Brown made the presentation, she indicated where there's already commitments, there's proven commitments, and the money can be spent, but it wasn't spent in the financial year. The funds can be rolled over. So under energy, and under the program that the member referred to, 8.9 million rand will be rolled over for that project. So hopefully this assists. Yeah.
So the money has been allocated. So the issue...
And is it the project the Honourable
sure
Member is talking
about? I'm not sure whether it's the same project
about?
Or not. Are you sure?
Okay.
Is and some allocation that has been rolled over, you know, but it's not necessarily an additional allocation, it's a rollover of unspent amount of money on the project. So whether it directly answers to that particular project, I'm not sure how that we are certain on that one. Yeah. But we will try to find out more about what the issues are in the process. As Honourable Fick, with regard to the school infrastructure education, or school infrastructure and education grants. I think that there are two grants that are supporting education. There is an education infrastructure grant, which is the grant that flows directly to the departments of education to implement the programs. But there was also a high impact grant that was created, I think, from 2012-13 to eradicate mud structures or inappropriate structures, most of which were in the Western Cape, in the Eastern Cape, and in some other provinces. So that grant is an indirect grant that is sitting at the national level. It is a grant that some parts of it, the national department is using the provinces as implementing agents, like you can see in the case of Western Cape, that have got the capacity, but most of it they're actually implementing as a national department on behalf of the provinces. So they are kind of working together in the process. I think the issue of unspent conditional grants or unspent funding, it is a problem, and what you see with regard to local government, it is usually unspent that happens on conditional grants. So when the recovery happens is when the conditional grants have been spent and the money is not returned. But when they have unspent money, which they cannot indicate that they are committed to any project, they need to return to the revenue fund. So they cannot spend on any other purpose. So the process then happens that money needs to be recovered somehow so that it can be for the people. And I think part of that is actually to instill that discipline of better planning, because I think there is no reason why planning cannot happen in advance when the allocations are normally known, you know, 2 years in advance. You know, so that culture of planning in the year when the year is budgeted, it is a problem and it is not necessary. So part of this process of even recovering the grant, I think it has also really helped in improving performance in spending, because you want spending to happen for the purpose in which the funds are allocated, not for anything else. So I think it is a problem, and I think that is why with regard to the provinces, also we have been working with them to address the issue of the capacity with regard to the delivery of health and education infrastructure. The process has been slow, and obviously, and because it is driven by really the willingness and the leadership of the provinces. But what we have done is to put out there the funding and the planning framework that guides how they need to plan and manage their infrastructure, basically to plan ahead of time. We have even introduced an element of incentive that says if you plan and you adopt the best practices, the money will be linked to your plan, you see, so that we don't just give money when we don't know what that money is going to buy and we cannot even account properly for that money. So I think the concern now is really more about the value for money, and which is really determined by the capacity and by proper planning, and which we are trying to push very hard in order to do that. With regards to the issue of that is raised by Honorable Delaine on the fleet management and the management of cleaners and stuff, I think part of these are some of the issues that we are saying that when the allocations are now no more growing at a fast rate than they should be, it provides much opportunity for government now to look deeper into what we are spending the money on, how are we combining our resources to produce the kind of output that we are producing. Can we do things better? Because obviously when there is money, the tendency is to continue to add money and to try to expand perfor delivery on the basis of more money. So at the moment what we are saying is with the kind of growth now that are slower, because we are not saying we are cutting, we are actually saying we are slowing growth, right? So there are some areas where we can now begin to focus on efficiencies rather than on beating for more money. So there is a change in culture in how we are going to be looking at the budget in the next 2 years, which will actually help us to understand some of these efficiencies or inefficiencies that we need to get rid of in the system so that we can begin to prioritize money properly and take money where we need to take. So I think with regards to this, the boreholes in Guyana, and I'm not sure how much Wendy would know about that, because I think my understanding here is that there is a problem of water. Whilst we are still looking at the long-term solution, but in the moment there is a problem, and this is trying to have is a short-term measure that is trying to address the immediate problem now of the shortage of water. So I think it may be true that there is a problem in terms of finishing the pipe at the speed in which it has been allocated. It may be that problem, but it's a problem that I'm not fully aware of at the moment. So the issue of FETs, I think this one came from Honorable Van Rooyen, on the issue of FET allocation and the grants. Yes, indeed, there are two elements to the money that is moving out of the provinces. The FET grant was created 2 years ago. It was created, so that money is very clear, has always been easy to move out. And then the adult education training also had a very clear program that was very distinct. But there was also the elements where the administration, you know, of the program, in terms of the operation of the program, including some of the personnel that supports the delivery of the program were being shared in certain programs within the education. So that is where you needed to also there to get some the portion that is associated with the administration of the FET and AET. So that is the one that is supposed to come out of equitable share. So the rest of the money is actually coming out. It's very easy. It was very straightforward in that process. Yeah.
Maybe if I can just add on the question with regard to the boreholes, if I can also refer the member to page 23 of the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, which actually contains a discussion on the issue. And maybe what to highlight here as well, the money is not made available directly to the municipality, but because of all those problems, the national department is going to directly ensure that the water on actually continued to 250,000 households, and also as an emergency measure, actually extended to another 16 boreholes, so to ensure continued service delivery. So there's a bit more detail in the document itself. And then also maybe what I would like to add is the issue about the allocations that's redirected from the indirect grant to the direct grant. And these amounts were provided by the National Department of Health. And we can follow up exactly for which project it is. But it's very likely to include the Kimberley Mental Hospital. But we can provide a specific detail if we can do that follow-up. We'll give it in writing.
Okay. I'm going to respond to two of the questions, the one in relation to the Small Business Department and the other one in relation to the underspending and other reduction amounts. In terms of the Small Business Department, this was raised by Honourable Malopa and also by Honourable Van Rooyen. Just to say that the department is currently operating. What has happened is that when the main appropriation bill was tabled at the time of the budget, obviously that was prior to the elections, then that bill was tabled in terms of the existing department. However, before it was passed, amendments were made to basically create that vote, but no funding was put against it at that point. However, the department is operating within the Department of Trade and Industry. So it is currently operating, it is currently spending funds, and essentially that is just a working arrangement between the two departments, and there's a process that each of these new departments needs to go through. Firstly, they need to be proclaimed, then legislation needs to be assigned to them, then they need to go through the process with the Department of Public Service and Administration to look at their functions and their organizational structure, etc. The Small Business Department is the only department for which basically it's not a reorganization and simply a shifting of function. It's a new function, and I think that we appreciate that, and that is why people are waiting in anticipation. But I think then it's also, you know, more work to think through how this organizational structure will be and what exactly is the way in which that function will operate. My understanding is that there has very recently been sign off by the Department of Performance of Public Service and Administration. The next and last step will be for them to come to the Treasury and get and discuss their budget vote structure so that they will be ready in time to take on their own budget vote at the time of the main appropriation bill. But currently, they are functioning already and within the Department of Trade and Industry. Then on with regard to the amounts by which the appropriation is reduced or by which the budget estimate is reduced, please just note that the budget estimates, which is sort of my concluding point was around the budget estimates, include the amounts that are appropriated to departments and contained in the appropriations bills, but then also direct charges and other. So why we try to get a really good estimate of what we think the spending is really going to be is that we do not want to borrow funds that we don't think that we're going to spend. So in a way, we manage spending both in an individual basis in terms of the actual vote and looking at what's happening at the vote, and I think you've seen a lot of detail of that, but also at a more aggregate level. So hence, our estimate of underspending, we determine what that is by looking at the overall spending trends and how we've tracked that for a couple of years. We're conservative on it, so we normally do not underspend by less than what we would have put there. But we do want to put the number down because we don't know in which votes, but if we look at the trends, we're our guesstimate is that there will be underspending to that extent. Where we are sure and have confirmation with the department that the spending will definitely not take place, that then is declared unspent funds. So that is why we have that underspending amount, but we certainly have not decreased the vote appropriations by that. The unallocated reserves is what was previously known as the contingency reserve. Essentially, what we do here is when we table the budget, we also indicate that amount. Again, we want to do it because we're scared that if all the votes spend all their funds and then we have floods or something like that, we would not already have made some sort of a provision. But to the extent that we are coming to the close to the end of the year and we're more or less sure that with what we have on budget we will be fine, we already want to reduce the estimate so that we don't go and borrow money against that. In respect of the sector education and training authorities, essentially the funds that are raised via the tax come into the National Revenue Fund, the skills levy, and then basically are apportioned also in terms of the CETAs. So essentially we're thinking that less is going to come in and therefore the appropriation is reduced. So it's not a cut in the same sense, if I can put it that way. However, I'm sure that most people will be aware that the CETAs tend to underspend in general anyway. So they probably will underspend more than what that is there. In terms of the state debt costs, yes, it is counterintuitive, most certainly, because everything has moved against us in terms of the rand has weakened. We've had more adverse assessments in terms of our country standing and so on, and so our interest costs that we face are higher. But essentially, at the time of the budget, we had estimated that the rand would be weaker than what it currently is, and so we're actually just making the correction for that. Again, we don't want to be borrowing the funds, paying interest cost while we keep it available if we are now more sure that we won't be needing that quantum of funding. Thank you.
Sorry, Honourable Chairperson, I just didn't get an answer as to what happens to that other billion rand that I asked about, that 0.1%.
That's the contingency reserve for the same answer that Dr. Kay gave, for the division of revenue over the interior. Not everything is allocated. There's a contingency reserve built in the system as well for the future.
Contingency reserve. Okay. I'll take one more now. Come on. Going to. Going. Gone. Two.
No, thanks. Chair. My name is Mutalipula Khosho. I'm from the Northwest Province Chairperson of Finance Committee. Chair, on the Division of Revenue Bill, I just wanted to check with the Treasury under the disaster funding. I can see that it's only five provinces that have been actually, the allocation has been made on the municipal disaster recovery grant for 24 municipalities. But in the Northwest, I know that there was a pronouncement of a disaster of the recent tremor in Matosani Klerksdorp area, the Orkney area. How has it been catered for? Whether at the provincial level, has the province already done that submission? Because in the appropriation bill of the province, that was taken care of. So that's the first point. The second point, Chair, is just a comment on, once again, on small business, the delay in small business. We need also just to get a sense of your the cooperatives, how would they be re-engineered in the context of small business as a catalyst for economic growth at the local sphere of government? Lastly, Chair, I'm actually worried because I've tried to look at the allocations on your EPWP, the annexure, your annexures on page 60 of the bill, which actually still define departments, particularly in Northwest, with the, there has been reconfiguration after the general election, and allocation is still in the context of the old departments. So how will that be dealt with in terms of allocations at the provincial level? And coupled with that question, in the context of reconfiguration, your sports and recreation grant, I know it has been a challenge in the Northwest because with the new reconfiguration, your sports is with the education, recreation is with your arts. How are you managing that process in the national level? If we can get that sense in the portfolio committee at the provincial level. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson. I am Farad Esak, and I'm a member of both the Select Committee of Finance and Appropriations. And of course, I come from Mpumalanga. I just wanted to check, coming from Mpumalanga, in terms of the MTBPS that we looked at the other day, and building on what Honorable De Beer spoke about in terms of the Moloto Road, government proposes to shift funds from existing road allocations at provincial and national level to the Moloto Road project. What I want to just come to terms with is, what are the exact implications of the shifting of these funds or of such reallocations? What are the implications to the other roads that they were originally allocated to? And then just in a nutshell, what is proposed exact cost of the Moloto Road project? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, sir. I just want to comment, when you raise an issue that FFC remarked that there are too many conditional grants, which of course they may have impact on the efficiencies in the local government sphere. Is there any reform with regard to these conditional grants underway? And also, because yesterday I think the minister underscored an important point that South Africa is gearing itself in the long-term planning, that the relationship between long-term planning and budgets, that is a crucial one. So if you can shed light, how we do these reforms. Thanks.
Comments
from
Treasury?
Maybe to start with the last one, with regard to the importance of long-term planning and budgeting. It is definitely something that's been picked up in the review, and one of the changes that's going to be looked at going forward is currently you do get it in the provincial infrastructure grant money, that the province can use some of that money for planning and also capacity building. And the same proposals are going to be added to local government infrastructure grants. It won't be added immediately because the work must all be done to determine exactly, how must that capacity be configured, how much money should it be, and the like. So it's something that we will be worked on and not introduced from the 2015 budget, but from the 2016 budget. It's definitely an area of work that's been identified and is critical in the process. But maybe that is for the broader municipalities. With regard to metropolitan municipalities, that's a longer-term planning and also integrated human settlement development. It's already a requirement for metropolitan municipalities. For them to receive allocations, they need to comply with certain conditions already stipulated in the Act itself. But for the other municipalities, it's still work in progress. Then with regard to the Moloto Road, what we can do is, and we have provided an input also to Parliament in the past on that, but we can actually just update it and provide a detailed written write-up. But of course, we will need to do it in conjunction also with the Department of Transport as well. So we can. It's quite a complicated and tricky issue, like the members pointed out. Then with regard to the change in the Northwest Department, thanks for actually raising this issue. It looks like there's maybe been a crack a bit in the system where it wasn't reported on, but what we will do is we'll do the follow-up as well. But with regard to these schedules, what happens is it's submitted to Parliament, but it must still be gazetted, where the actual legislation, that's the clauses, and the schedules, but not the appendices, get approved as part of the formal legislation, but this part gets gazetted. So we'll make that change and fix it in terms of the gazette required in terms of 16.2 of the Division of Revenue Act. And then with regard to, can I ask you to do the disaster one? Clocks up.
I'm not entirely sure on the disaster for Klerksdorp specifically. What I do know is that there are currently no outstanding requests that have been forwarded to us by the National Disaster Management Center. Remember that all of these requests have to go to the National Disaster Management Center. Now, a province may or may not make a request. If they have, and it was mentioned that there's already been an appropriation at the provincial level, it might have covered it in full. I'm not aware of what the numbers are. And if so, sometimes they do not request from the National Disaster Management Center. If they do, then the National Disaster Management Center makes its investigations and so on, and then will notify us at some point. I do know for sure that we've not been notified of any pending request that's still pending the Treasury's consideration. But I certainly can make a follow up and just see if anything is with the National Disaster Management Center, or else obviously if the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs appears, one can also pose a question to them. The other question that I wanted to, well, I shouldn't say I wanted to answer, was on the small business department. Why I possibly don't want to answer it is that I don't really have a full answer, because I think given that we haven't yet looked at the budget program structure means that we also haven't really been looking at the costing details. Obviously, how those cooperatives will be re-engineered will also have a cost element to it. So I think there are policy imperatives, and then there's kind of value for money and cost effective policies in achieving the policy imperatives. So, but those conversations I think can now be embarked on once we actually start looking at the detailed budget program structure and what the functions are. But I'm sure that the department itself would certainly have more detail and ideas of which options it will be presenting to us.
Just to round up, I mean, I think if I was in a position of the small business department, I would be a bit scared. It really looks like there is so much expectation. And I think there is quite a responsibility on them to clearly define their policies and their approach, because there are a lot of other things that they need to influence rather than to take on. And to make sure that the linkages between what the local government does and provinces does and national and the incentive system that is already existing is properly targeted. Because what you'll find is that some of these programs are already there. And I think that is why part of the shifts in the functions
is really to realign even the programs that have already been there, the programs of support for small businesses that have already been there, that perhaps may not have been properly focused or maybe properly guided and properly linked to what is happening at the local level, at the provincial level. So I think it will be a major task for them to redefine precisely how they actually operate and how they interface with the other spheres of government and other departments, and how they influence even the policies and the approaches of other departments to ensure that in their areas, their responsibilities, they are able to properly target the SMEs. I think it's a major challenge for them, and I think we must give them also a bit of time to begin to reconfigure and refine and find themselves properly in terms of their approach. Otherwise, you know, there will be too much disappointment if we don't have at least some bit of time to give them to ensure that they are clear in terms of their strategy and their approach. I think with regard to, just to add on Wendy on the reforms of the conditional grants, I think we are coming up with a really far-reaching, you know, ideas in terms of how we can reform the conditional grants in order to address some of the dysfunctionalities that happens because there are too many grants fragmented in the system. There is poor planning, so we are looking at, and there is poor monitoring and oversight. And a lot of the time, you know, there isn't much proper accounting on what the grant is spending. And a lot of the time people will tell you how much the grant is. So I think there's a lot of changes that have got to happen at the national level, how we create and think through grants, and how we administer and manage grants, how we support the spheres of government. Because when you look at the fact that now we have got an emergence of indirect grants, which also tells you there's a failure somewhere in the system when the functions are supposed to perform by municipalities or provinces are performed by national government. So the issue is, how do we begin to look at that in a manner that actually begins to start building in a consistent way the capacity where the function is actually located? So I think it's something that we can share with the committee, perhaps, how we are looking at it, because a lot of work also to redesign this grant, some of those that we are reconfiguring, will be happening in 2015. So we can come and actually share the outputs of that and how we are looking at it going forward in the future.
The last question from me. The employment creation facilitation. Why is National Treasury unable to spend this money? 561 million. Lots of money.
LOPS fund. I think because that is also an innovation fund, right? That also involves a lot of interface with the private sector in actually identifying the project and in making sure that that project is actually the project that can create jobs and sustainable jobs. So that process of identifying, designing, and also understanding what the private sector is bringing, because it's not about government creating, it's about government enabling the private sector to actually do what they're supposed to do. But at least maybe removing some of the challenges that they may be faced to enable them to actually do that. So I think, and I think it is very important for us to make sure that whatever the money is spent on, there is very into it. So what you will find is that there are a lot of projects in the pipeline. So what has been a delay is actually the take-up, and the take-up really has to do with now we have finished the product and we have the project and we have got to start the project. So I don't think, and the thing is, there has been quite an improvement in the performance over the years, but it's not yet where it should be. And I think it's by nature, when you are trying to be innovative and do something that is out of the box, sometimes, you know, such kind of outcomes would actually happen. But I think we are learning very good lessons in terms of how we can begin to trigger these things as government.
Chairperson, it's a very important question that you pose, because as far as I know, DBSA is running the Jobs Fund. And DBSA must present their annual report to Parliament, appear before the Standing Committee for Finance and Select Committee for Finance. For a matter of fact, we can do it jointly, because this issue cuts across. It's not only for one committee. I'm just putting this on the table that we can take it further in the management. Thank you.
I'll take Honorable Professor will be the last.
Chair, I'm not going to ask a question. I just want to comment on the issue of the small business department. That it's not just the question of establishing that department and then funding it. But I think we need to look at that area a lot more broader, because there is an area of the development finance institutions involved as well. In the area of capitalization of those DFIs by Treasury, probably we would have to look into which of those DFIs are migrating into the small business department. We would have to think about whether there is need to keep them as they are or reconfigure them in a particular fashion so that they become a lot more effective. So I'm saying that we need a deeper conversation between ourselves as parliament and legislatures and national treasury. But also the other area is the coordination between provincial, I don't know whether they have their provinces have their DFIs as well or what the arrangement is. But I do know that they also, provinces do fund SMMEs and cooperatives. We will have to look into all of that and coordination between the national department when it is configured and the provincial departments, the national treasury and the provincial finance departments. And all of that kind of conversation has got to come back into the fore so that we really empower this department at a national level and at provincial levels so that it produces the goods. So we need a further discussion on this particular department together with the ministry and the department once it's properly formulated.
Last comment from Treasurer.
Thank you, Chair. I think we covered, and I think we are willing to come and have further engagement on some of these issues, specific issues. I think we have set specific issues on the grant, and if there's a discussion around the small business department, I think we would be willing to be part of that discussion, because I think it is also in our interest to ensure that there isn't duplication of functions, that there's better realignment and better coordination, which is always where government actually fails. So I think we are willing to engage further. Otherwise, we have to thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Madije, Wendy, and Kay. Thank you very much. Honorable members, that concludes the...